Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 34th Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Darryl Caudle.
To ensure that they are ready to fight and win decisively today, tomorrow, and well into the future, we will view everything we do through an operational lens, focused on three interlocking priorities: the Foundry, the fleet, and the way we fight.
The Foundry, the fleet, and the fight. New CNO yesterday, Darryl Caudle, laying out his priorities for his administration. The Foundry.
First, the Foundry. Every ounce of combat power begins here. It's our shipyards, our training pipelines, shore infrastructure, weapon production lines, and logistics networks. The Foundry is where readiness is forged. Far too long, we've treated this interconnected network of fourth generation as background noise. No longer. We will stoke the fires of the Foundry with urgency and discipline. From reducing maintenance delays to ensuring spare parts and ordnance flow on time, the Foundry will become the engine of naval dominance. The production line will be a fleet that is lethal, resilient, and ready to fight.
Well, he ain't wrong about that. That has absolutely been the neglected component of American naval power, from shipbuilding to repair times to just having shipyards and the people who work on the—I mean, all of it, all of it. We've said many times, we have fallen way behind the Chinese on this, and we're trying to catch up now. And we have great capacity, and we have shown in the past great capacity to quickly produce. Look at World War II and the Freedom's Forge, but still— we're way behind on this. Number two, fleet.
Our fleet is more than hulls in the water, planes in the sky, or electrons across wires. It is our primary operational fighting formation. With battle-ready sailors at the helm, our platforms and systems are brought to life, empowering our fleet to project power and deter conflict through extraordinary mobility, persistent presence, and global reach, causing our adversaries to think twice. Peace through strength works. Simply said, the fleet is the differentiated value our Navy brings to the joint force. The fleet is uniquely naval. It spans all domains. It stretches from seabed to space, and it carries with it the unmistakable message of America's resolve. To allies, it's reassurance. To adversaries, it's deterrence. To all, it is proof that the freedom of the seas will never be surrendered.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. And that is something, other nations have navies. Yeah. the high school has a football team, but they're not the NFL. And, we are the NFL. Of course, there's another NFL out there, and they're our adversary, right? They've been growing, and they have a fleet, too. It may not be awesome, but it's big. And sometimes big is enough to, at least challenge awesome, right? Third, the fight.
And finally, the fight. At the end of the day, this is what we exist to do. Deliver violence on behalf of our nation when called upon. Our adversaries are watching us closely, searching for vulnerabilities, betting we can't adapt fast enough. They are wrong. The way we fight today will not be the way we fight tomorrow. We will relentlessly innovate, adapt, and accelerate the integration of cutting-edge technologies, artificial intelligence, robotics and autonomous systems, resilient command and control networks, hypersonic weapons, advanced manufacturing, and quantum-enabled sensing. But perhaps more important, we will synchronize these new capabilities in timing and tempo to deliver decision advantage, combat overmatch, and most of all, survivability in contested environments.
Yeah, as three priorities, I mean, I think he's got it right. I love that expression, deliver violence on behalf of our nation when called upon. That's right. So how should we evaluate his success or not success?
As I assume this historic office, I am focused not on promises or talking points, but on outcomes. Our Navy will calibrate our sights, refine our course, and transform our approach to solving the toughest problems with a disciplined approach. By the time my tenure ends, I want to be judged by the results we achieve together, plain and simple. Platforms delivered and repaired on time. Fully manned and combat-ready ships. Ordnance production meeting contracted demand. Backlog and repair parts eliminated. And sailors trained to the highest levels of mastery.
And fully repaired and capable to deploy ships along with the sailors on board to do the mission. That's, I mean, this is a tall order. Because, you know, you have right now, the problem is, for instance, if you've got a deployment of so much length, but you can't return home because the ship that's supposed to replace you is still in repair because we don't have enough capability to repair the ships we've got. And so that runs long. That puts your deployment longer. That puts stress on your operation. Then when you eventually return, you're in ship repair even longer. Like, it's a cascading problem because of neglected capability for so long. Now, one of the things that he talked about earlier in his speech really caught my attention, and I'll focus on that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives first.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound approaching the Davis Highway exit, we've got a disabled vehicle in the roadway starting to cause a little bit of backups. Let's see here. The rest of I-10, I-110 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, I know the A Street mural is a big deal to a lot of people, and it's in sort of the headline today, and we haven't really talked about it too much. We've talked about it in the past, but can you maybe just for 2 seconds agree with me that the vision and the effectiveness of the Chief of Naval Operations is a slightly more important issue for our local area, NAS Pensacola, Whiting Field, Corey Station, the future of the country vis-a-vis our adversaries in China? Like, I know as I'm playing the clips from the CNO that somebody's like, well, that Andrew hadn't talked about A Street yet. Okay. Significance and entertainment. The A Street mural, though it is important, is not the most important thing that happened yesterday. And this, I think, is much more important. So, and actually, here, we'll get to this in just a second. But I thought something he said in his speech, it really caught my attention. I spent a lot of time talking about this in the 5 o'clock hour. But here's, I want you to hear what he said and then kind of my thoughts on this.
To prevail in this environment, we must build and sustain a Navy that is resilient, agile, globally present, and combat credible. But let me be clear, what sets us apart is just not our steel, our technology, or our firepower. It is our sailors. They are our greatest asymmetric advantage. Their skill, ingenuity, and courage are the main weapon system. They ensure our overmatch. They are the secret to our success. And it is through them that all victories will be realized.
So the American sailor is our most important asset. Not the sub, not the ship, not the plane, the sailor. And putting them first, developing a Navy for them, around them, and preparing them for it is the key to us deterring aggression and defeating aggression. And he's going to say one more thing about this, and then I said I have some thoughts.
The sailor will be front and center in my vision throughout my tenure as CNO, hands down, no exceptions. Sailors are my priority. Ensuring quality of service is my priority. From housing, childcare, healthcare, to investing in world-class training and qualification standards, we will make certain our sailors have everything they need to be successful. Because when they sail into harm's way, they deserve nothing less than the absolute best.
And who could disagree, right? Who could disagree? But I have a question. And the more I think about this question, the more it bothers me. The question is, as a country, are we producing the right quality of 18 to 22-year-olds that we need to be that unbelievably spectacular, outstanding, overmatching sailor? Or soldier, or Marine, or airman, right? It's not unique to the Navy. Because I have concerns in this regard. Because what he's saying is, it's not our ships versus their ships. It's not our aircraft versus their aircraft. Our ships are better than their ships. Our air is better than their air. Our technology is, well, you know, we're working on it. But, I mean, you know, right? The Chinese have technology, too. I mean, if you know, they build dams around the world with crappy concrete, and, you know, that shows something. And their ships don't hold up as well, and their aircraft are ripped off versions of our aircraft. I mean, that's all true. But let's talk about the people power issue. The Chinese are making people, too. A lot of them. You know, they have 1.3 million people, billion people. We have 330 million people. They have a much bigger resource pool from which to draw. And they have a much bigger numbers, right? Are we in America producing the kind of citizens, 18 to 22-year-olds, that are going to be that outstanding, overmatching, capable sailor? And in this regard, it's easy to assume yes. It's easy to take this as a rah-rah. Of course we will. Yeah, that's fantastic. Excellent. Is the American 20-year-old the pinnacle of human potential at this particular. See, when I say it that way, it's a less obvious thing, right? You know, they're good at their phones.
Very good.
They're not that great at human interaction. They're not that great at math or science compared to the world. You know, we're in the mid-30s among the nations sampled. You know, like, it's not great. And when you think about the criticisms that are made, and I have made many of them, about these youth, you know, get off my lawn, these kids, some of them are fantastic. But generally speaking, are we educating them effectively? Are we socializing them effectively? Are we teaching them to be innovative and self-reliant and get along in society and be service-oriented and have faith and persevere and be creative and overcome problems and, you know, or do we buy them a tablet at age 3, take them to school and pick them up in the car rider line, let them live on social media and video game platforms, and then we can't figure out why it is that they can barely drive a car or take care of themselves or pay their bills or even get up on time for school? Am I talking to anybody? You know, like, we've had to lower the physical requirements for access to the military. We've had to actually go into remedial physical training just to get people up to the basic skill in order to include them in the military. Now, every generation thinks its kids are a mess. But our kids these days, are they the Pearl Harbor response generation? Do they have that in them? Or are they the kids whose parents write their resume and then accompany them to the job interview? You see what I'm getting at? I want to believe, I want to have CN O'Connell's optimism about the Fighting Force. And I will tell you that the sailors that I know are fantastic. The sailors that I have met when we were on the McCool, fantastic. Every single one of them. I mean, amazing. I want to believe that's true of all the forces. I want to believe that the American is capable in a way that the Chinaman is not. And they've learned freedom, and they've learned expression, and they've operated in a world where they weren't just force-fed everything. But, you know, are they as capable? I don't know. But you see my concern. Are we producing the caliber of citizen, the caliber of 18 to 22-year-old, that we're going to need to win this war if it happens and to discourage this war so that it doesn't happen? And I have concerns. It's not a, I mean, and honestly, this probably sounds like it's a criticism of the Navy. You realize it's not. It's a criticism of the American culture and our society and our education system and our parenting style and our media. And, you know, I mean, when China produces an app that is so addictive and so dumb-making, where people get their information but also get their brain stimulation and their dopamine centers rewired and the stuff they get off of TikTok, I mean, is that just a byproduct of us being, you know, fat, lazy, and stupid? Or is that helping to accelerate the process of making us fat, lazy, and stupid? You know, is that just good warfare by other means? I'm really asking you to think about, if we're trying to win a war or avoid a war, are we doing everything we can as citizens in a democracy to produce the raw material of people who are capable of being the kinds of sailors that he's talking about shaping and training into that fighting force that does that and makes that end goal happen? And again, I have concerns. Am I overreacting? Am I overdramatizing it? Or am I raising legitimate questions about the assertion that the American teenager is our greatest raw material? 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic at this. 165 homes sold last year. And one of her things is just do whatever it takes. And that may sound trite. Like, doesn't everybody do whatever it takes? No, they don't. You can go to 53 seminars and learn all the stuff you're supposed to do. But then if you don't actually do it, it doesn't make much difference. For example, she shows a house and doesn't get an offer on the house. So she'll call the real estate agent and say, you know, hey, what'd they think? Oh, okay, well, what that they didn't like, is that something, could we maybe paint that and fix that? You know, could we maybe get rid of that shrub? Would that help? Is there, you know, for the future, what can I do differently in the future? Is the price wrong? I mean, like, all of that stuff. Like, those are little things, but sometimes that turns a no, like a no answer, into a deal. Sometimes it just turns it into better information so you get a better yes sooner. That's just how she does it, and that's the way her folks do it. Outstanding customer service. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 786-3996. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound approaching the I-110 split off there. We're still dealing with that disabled vehicle that was in the roadway. Starting to cause some congestion back, just about halfway to Pine Forest. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
At different times in our lives, we all have problems. Health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But at no point are any of these problems our biggest problem. The biggest problem facing mankind is the sin problem. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't solve everyone's health troubles, although he did help a few. He didn't solve everyone's financial trouble, although he did provide food for some. He didn't solve everyone's relationship problems, although a few were helped in that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he did solve the problem of sin for everyone. He died a substitutionary death in your place and in mine. All we have to do is call upon him for salvation. Jesus is the greatest problem solver in human history.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When you need any job done outdoors, you need Five Star Outdoor Services. They handle it all. Lawn care, landscaping, power washing, concrete, clearing, decks, privacy fencing, you name it, they can do it. With pride in their work and at a price that's right. Five Star Outdoor Services is a local company with your satisfaction their main goal. Dependable, reliable, and affordable. See for yourself. Google Five Star Outdoor Services or check them out on Facebook for all jobs outdoors. Five Star Outdoor Services.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let's think positively. Think of the fact that there is not one state in the 50 that has the death penalty for speeding. Although I'm not so sure about Ohio.
Lot of amen, preacher brother Andrew.
I know. No. That's a
tell those skibbity kids, you know, that they need to get out the brain rot and learn
how
and learn how to add and subtract. And yeah, I know. But hey, I mean, it's the assumption, you know, complacency comes from assuming that you're going to be on top forever. We have to not be complacent, and I think we are. We just kind of assume, oh, it's America, you know, everything's going to be fine. We'll win. We won't even have to fight that war. Well, historically, that's not turned out to be true, you know, historically. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
definitely be.
Good morning. Sorry about that.
No worries.
In the process of putting something together. Grab my script here. And President Trump ordering the creation of special National Guard units trained to deal with keeping public order. Monday's executive order comes as the president has floated the idea of sending the military to enforce law and order in several American cities. He's already done so in Washington, D.C., but as a special district, the rules there are different than they would be in other parts of the country. Venezuela sending 15,000 troops to their border with Colombia. Officials say that's an effort on their part to fight drug trafficking. The move comes as the U.S. has sent warships to the region, also in an operation against drug cartels.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Join the Gulf Coast Kids House for brunch and bubbles Sunday, October 26th. It's about 2 months away at Portofino Island Resort, a great event put on by Sandy Sansing Dealerships. And all the funds, of course, support an excellent charity, Gulf Coast Kids House, serving victims of child abuse and neglect. It's a horrible thing that they have to exist, but they do such wonderful work because of it.
Fox News, I'm Angelo Bavaro. President Trump making a firing at the Federal Reserve.
In a letter shared to Truth Social, President Trump says he's removing Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook from her position effective immediately. He cites a criminal referral from Bill Pulte, the director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, who has claimed Cook falsified bank documents and property records.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Lisa Cook says she will not step down and the president has no authority to fire her. At least 20 people, including five journalists, were killed after Israel struck one of Gaza's main hospitals on Monday. President Trump says an end to the war could be coming soon.
I think within the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to have a pretty good conclusive ending.
Israel says it's investigating what it calls a tragic mishap. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got sunshine, 70 degrees right now on a beautiful Tuesday morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Firefighters responded to a house fire today in the 4,000 block of Pine Forest Road. That call came in at about 2 a.m. Multiple units were called to the scene. Officials say the home had a very long, narrow driveway, which caused some issues with the response. Firefighters had to request additional hoses because the ones they had weren't long enough to reach the house from the end of that drive. The Bureau of Fire and Arson is investigating so far. No word on the cause or whether anybody was hurt. FDOT has ordered the city of Pensacola to remove the Black Lives Matter mural on North A Street. The agency sent a letter to City Administrator Tim Kinsella last week, saying the mural is a violation of FDOT's traffic control device standards. The city has until September 4th to remove the mural, and if they don't, the state agency says they'll remove it and bill the city for the cost. Mayor Reeves is expected to address this at his weekly press conference. That'll happen later this morning. The mural has been on North A Street since 2020, when it was painted by several local artists during a wave of social justice protests that swept the nation. Well, it's a milestone for a new police canine in Santa Rosa County. Sheriff Bob Johnson says one of their newest four-legged officers took his first bite at a crime recently.
Yeah, Mac got his first one, and we're so proud of him. These dogs, you know, they put their lives on the line, same as the officers do. And Mac is technically not a puppy anymore, but still, the first bite is always a big one.
And Sheriff Johnson says he got a report recently from the canine handler that Mac had taken down a suspect. He didn't have the report on hand, but said it was a felony arrest. Well, some changes are coming to Southwest Airlines' overweight flying rules. The increase in ticket prices is coming January of next year.
Overweight passengers flying on Southwest Airlines are now facing a seating problem. The carrier is ending its long-standing customer of size policy that allowed plus-size travelers to secure extra seating without those upfront costs. Beginning in January 2026, passengers who cannot fit comfortably within one seat will be required to purchase an additional seat in advance. Longtime loyalists say the policy undermines Southwest identity as a customer-friendly airline. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Florida taking steps to make sure no illegal alien truck drivers enter the state. Attorney General James Uthmeyer saying yesterday that state police are ramping up inspections at state entry points. They'll be looking for illegal aliens operating large trucks using out-of-state driver's licenses. This comes after an illegal immigrant was arrested for a deadly crash on the Florida Turnpike in St. Lucie County this month. Uthmeyer says a letter sent to the U.S. Department of Transportation is urging them to take action against California and Washington for issuing a CDL to the suspect. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. If you're on I-10 eastbound approaching the Highway 29 exit, we're seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 going southbound all the way from Kingsfield down to East 9 Mile Road, seeing some minor delays there. Also, Highway 90 getting into Pensacola, you see it about a 10 to 12 minute delay, congestion delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 87. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. For Thursday, nice sunny weather with a high near 88 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And 70 degrees right now. It's a beautiful morning. Sunshine. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Officials said they will add interactive brokers to the S&P 500 index at the opening of trading on Thursday. The brokerage service is replacing Walgreens, which is being taken private in a deal with Sycamore Partners that is expected to close soon. Interactive brokers shares jumped nearly 5% upon the news. Cracker Barrel Old Country Store has issued a statement responding to the backlash it faced last week over its rebranding and new logo. The restaurant chain said, "We could have done better at sharing who we are and who we'll always be." Reuters reports Swedish fintech Klarna will restart its plan to go public in the United States next month with a valuation between $13 and $14 billion. The company paused its IPO plans in April after President Trump's sweeping tariffs rattled global markets. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 349, the NASDAQ down 47, the S&P 500 lost 27. Once again, futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care this morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care today at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower, competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State take on Alabama on Saturday, August 30th?
It's time to tap the app with News Radio 92.3. Just download our News Radio app, and from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can enter for your chance to win. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands for this epic battle on August 30th.
The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin.
Tap that app and get ready for game day with News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
that we would direct Michael Rose to make sure that the league, that this year that we're not having night games. We've had a killing, a shooting, all those things in these parks. And we have spent, you know, to the tune of every year, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 when they said we're not helping, that we pay for security that they don't do in the city of Pensacola, that they don't do anywhere, that this board has paid Sheriff Simmons to provide for security. Quite frankly, a league split because people didn't want to come to Bellevue, and people were killed and people were shot. And so, I mean, we can't prevent everything. I mean, you go to a high school game, you can't walk from one side to another one. We have security issues, police issues. I mean, cops, police officers are charging sometimes $40 an hour, but depends on where they're going. They'll charge $70 an hour. You know, if they go to a safe place, it's $40. If they feel like it's an unsafe park, they'll charge $70. I know because I'm engaged, and so it's hard to sustain when you're having to pay $70 an hour to have kids safe.
So Commissioner Lumen May at the most recent Escambia County Commission meeting talking about sports safety cost and the sheriff's office. Since we have the sheriff here with us in studio, Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, I just wanted to give you a chance to, I don't know, respond, clarify, address, however you want. You hadn't heard the clip before, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it since he's talking about your agency.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure there's anything really to explain. It's always been the case where police officers or sheriff's deputies, that they on off duty, they can work for I guess a bar or a complex or something like that, and it's off duty. And then, or they can work, like you see the highway patrol and some state officers are working roadways. You know, they do that on their off duty, because quite frankly, we don't have the manpower to man every ballpark or every, every establishment that wants extra security. So if you want extra security, you can hire a deputy.
You do have the manpower. You don't have the budget to pay them.
Because
ones doing the work, you literally have the, but you have to pay them overtime. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm thinking there's so many ball games going on.
Right.
Throughout the county, especially the youth league ball games, baseball games, basketball games. We do not have the manpower to staff every single one of those, plus answer the calls for service. So what we do is we allow our deputies to work off duty, and that supplements obviously the patrol. So we don't have, if there's a call for service at a ballpark, say, then our deputy that's answering 911 calls in the county, they don't have to break and go to that call. It helps everyone, really. And it's always been the case where we don't force a deputy to work off duty. So you have to make it worth their while. You have to pay them a certain amount of money. And that's been the case for 50 years or so.
Aren't set by you guys. Those rates are set by the marketplace.
Well, yeah, what the market bears. But okay. Yes, they are.
But the deputy the minimum opt in or not. Like they say yes or no, and if everybody's saying no to an event, then you might have to raise the pay for that or whatever.
Yeah, at the sheriff's office, we have it's people that work in off duty, and then they'll put out this job that's available, and anyone wants it, they can get it. Sometimes they look at the job and they decide they don't want it. Mm. It's difficult. It requires two or three deputies, whatever it takes. I say difficult. It's busier. It's a busier job. And then so they have to raise the rate to entice someone to work it. But again, that's the way it is on holidays. That's the way it is on New Year's Eve. That's the way it has always been.
Is his assessment of the Bellevue and the dangers, particularly in that location at those games, is, you know, I know we still don't play night games anymore, right? We've gone to all day games now because of some of these problems. But is that a problem, a unique problem?
Well, I don't know if it's a unique problem. I think that anytime you have people that gather for sporting events or any event, then you're going to need, I would suggest you have extra security. You consider security. It depends on the nature of the game, or you just have inviting anyone to come to the game. I heard that on that clip that you spoke about, you know, there are people getting killed. Technically, there was one person killed a couple of years ago. But it is something that we pay attention to. This past Saturday, we had our portable cameras at Bellevue, I believe, at Brent. So we had them at two locations. We do place our preventative trailers.
Got it.
The mobile camera platforms that we have. So we have placed them at locations. And we work with the Parks and Recreation, Escambia County, and determine what their schedule looks like and when certain games are. I know as a park, I used to be the park president for Inslee football. And so we knew that the mini mites or the mites, the 5-year-olds to the 10, 12-year-olds, probably not going to be that big a crowd. But we also knew that the night game, which is the junior level game, the 13, 14-year-olds at the time, and I'm sure it's about the same, just before you get to high school. Those games are like Friday night football games. They're very well attended, and unfortunately some people get there and they drink all day and they cause a problem. And we knew that, so we hired additional security just to make sure everyone's safe. And that's the life that we live right now, whether it's at the mall, whether it's at a movie theater, no matter where it is. I think we have to consider safety of the people that are attending.
We had a couple of, I think, pretty horrid stories. One involved a guy who, I guess, a home invasion against a 79-year-old woman and a sexual assault involved in all of this. And I sometimes hate to talk about these. I mean, I always hate to talk about these things, but they are things that happen in our community, right?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to our deputies that doggedly worked and investigated this particular case. And this case, yeah, we don't like to talk about these things, but the crime was committed, and this piece of crap that did it, he is in jail right now, and hopefully never gets out of jail. There was the event took place, and then later on, this guy went to a grocery store and ended up stealing something, and the deputy responded. Immediately recognized the individual from the description of the sexual battery, and put two and two together, and then they tied up some loose ends and ended up charging this individual with that crime.
So good police work, which is we always appreciate that. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute congestion delay. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola going southbound. You're going to see maybe a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Another just, I hate it when women, old people, and kids, these are the stories that just frustrate me to no end. But you had, in Cantonment, you had a couple arrested for child neglect.
Yeah, we went there because we were helping. I think it was they have warrants on him from somewhere in Alabama. And so we went to this house. And when we went to the house, we observed just some deplorable conditions that children are living in. I think it was described as disarray and filthy diapers, invisible urine and feces scattered on the floor. It looked like there was if I recall correctly, there was a bathtub. It looked like it had not been used in a while, indicating that the children likely had not been bathed in a while. Mm. There was discarded food containers strewn about. There was evidence of not just evidence, but roaches and large flies in different rooms. As much as we don't want to talk about it, as much as we hate to think that children are living in these types of conditions, there's something reassuring that these guys went to jail.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of them on various social media platforms. And I invite you to take a look at what child abuse looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that they will have their day in court. They're all innocent until proven guilty. But I have the unique perspective of many times talking to the deputies that have to endure this. Sometimes I see the body cameras, the footage, reluctantly so in many cases.
Yeah.
But I see what I see. And again, they will have their day in court, but that doesn't mean I can't give my opinion on the type of person it takes to treat children like this.
And if you arrest one, they're not the only ones. And you had another case not that long ago, there's going to be more of these. To me, it's a reminder that the foster care system needs foster parents. We need people to adopt. We need, you know, if there aren't people to take in troubled kids, and these are going to be troubled kids, I mean, you know, that what are other alternative is there? So, you know, that whole system needs help too.
Volunteers, right. There's lots a lot of going on here. I mean, how are thank God for schools, so the kids can
the
potentially get out of that environment. Many times they can get a warm meal, and they can socialize with other kids, and hopefully they can grow up and not repeat this cycle.
It's so hard to, if you grew up in an even halfway normal family, you know, it's so hard to think about what some kids experience and, you know, what they need and be considerate and gracious and pray for. I mean, all the things, you know, and just to be available, and to think about the social services that really do help. You know, we think sometimes about the excesses of some busybody neighbor who intrudes on somebody who's not really doing anything wrong. But sometimes the busybody neighbor calls because there's a child neglect case going on.
Absolutely.
And saves the kids from a horrible situation.
Yeah, I don't think that we thank Child Protective Services enough.
Agreed.
I know there's a lot of criticism throughout the country on why didn't they notice this, why didn't they notice that. There are a lot of cases that we get called by Child Protective Services. We get called to a house, and then we find out there's already a case, on them, and they have a background, and they have removed children, or they're about to remove children. They do, in my opinion, they do all that they can.
With their scarce resources and scarce personnel.
We need to continue to fund them as well, because we're talking about children.
You and I had talked previously about the Glock switch, which is a little piece of device that turns it's specifically designed for the Glock gun, handgun, that turns a semi-automatic into a fully automatic pistol. And I had asked you at the time, are these prevalent in Escambia County? And there's now a case that's come back that we had, I think, talked about before, these guys who were dealing in the Glock switches here locally. It's become a federal case, but it's about a year-old case. Have we seen very many of these things in the intervening time?
This is the only one I'm aware of. Okay. I say the only one. This is one of very, very few that I'm aware of. We have done a couple search warrants, and whenever we find a gun that has the switch in it that makes it a machine gun, basically, they come to me and tell me, because they know that I'm interested in that sort of thing, because I want to know if we're seeing this sort of thing. But the case you're talking about, we arrested two people initially, and now they're going to, I guess, we're going to federal prison, I think, for 3 years, 4 years, something like that. But they were actually dealing in. They had multiple Glocks with that switch in it, and they were dealing back and forth, and I'm assuming with other people too. We just didn't catch all of them. But fortunately, it's rare to see that around here. But I will tell you that we mentioned this before, that we are working very well with ATF and with DEA and with ICE, and we're working very well with our federal partners. And I have to include the U.S. Attorney's Office, because they're really stepping up with their prosecution. I will tell you, in the past, they haven't accepted, or what they call adopt, they haven't adopted as many cases as they are now. So there seems to be a good working relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office, not just with the local law enforcement, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, which obviously is a big player in that, but also with their interaction with the state attorney's office, and they're determining whether they take it to a state court or they take it to a federal court, what's the best for the community.
Venue for the prosecution, right. I had wanted to ask you, we were talking earlier this hour, I was talking about the raw recruiting potential, the 18 to 22 year olds that we're manufacturing as a society. And I have concerns because they are the key to the sailors and the soldiers and the airmen. They're going to fight any potential war and discourage war. The new CNO was talking about how the sailors are the key resource. I know. And when I said that to you off the air, you said, yep, that's the same way. My deputies are my key resource, right? It's not the gun. It's not the Tahoe. It's not the technology. It's the deputy. But my concern is, and look, I know everybody thinks that their kids are messed up. You know, the next generation is always the next generation. But what are you seeing? You're on the front lines. You're seeing new recruits. Are you seeing as many capable as when you were coming up, less capable, more capable? What's your – are they – do you need to train them how to be people, or are they coming to you prepared to be law enforcement officers?
So I'm an eternal optimist, right? I want to – if it's not great, let's make it great.
Yeah.
If it's good, let's make it a little bit better. So I can tell you that we do the Blazer Academy, and we interact with many, many 13, 14-year-old boys and girls. And I can tell you that the future is still bright, that we're not doomed. I can tell you, though, that in today's society, where everyone's looking at a phone and they're communicating through text, they're not talking to each other, law enforcement is still a people business. You still have to get out. You still have to talk to someone. You still have to be able to de-escalate a situation. So there is that. I mean, we understand that. But I can tell you that because we have our own academy, I can see them every day, every week. When we didn't have our academy, we didn't see them until they got out. They already been trained for almost a year. In our situation, we can see that I can drive by the office and I can see them running up the hill over there right next to the Boys and Girls Club, right next to our office. And I shake my head, glad I'm not the one to have it run up that hill in the heat. But I know that they're working hard. I think that the fact that they're putting themselves through this show that they have a desire to be a law enforcement officer, and specifically with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. So if you're listening, the quality of recruit that we're getting at the Sheriff's Office, I would say, is second to none. We can tell by the scores on the state exams that they were still the highest in the state of Florida. And I can tell you that the individuals that come to work for us, the 18 cadet age, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and certainly the 21 and up age group that we are putting out there on the street is as good as it's ever been. They're as qualified, as well-trained, efficient, And we're as capable as we have ever been right here in Escambia County.
Last question for you, Sheriff. Grady Judd, your favorite sheriff in Florida, the showiest sheriff in Florida.
He's a friend of mine. He's a friend.
He showed up at a drug seizure press conference wearing the drip, as he called it, the gold chains and watches.
Do they still call it drip? I don't know, I guess.
Grady Judd called it drip. That makes me think probably nobody else does anymore. But, he said, we got your drip. Should we expect to see Sheriff Simmons showing up in the drug dealer's gold chains and Rolex and shirt and sports car in a future press conference?
We all have our style, and I'm probably not. I'm not going to guarantee it though. You know, if we sees and it's a bona fide bad guy, it's someone that I know the proceeds are from them. You know, we seize cars a lot. We have a Corvette that's all wrapped up in sheriff's office green because we seized it from a felon. So I'm not going to make any guarantees. I'll keep people guessing what I'm going to show up at a press conference wearing.
That's funny. You know what it makes me think is you should have put a sign on the side of the vet that says this used to belong to a drug dealer.
Yeah, I didn't want to mess up the aesthetic there. I mean, really, we talked about that in the past.
Put some spinners on there, lift it.
Charlie Johnson had an old Corvette that he put stickers on it. Yeah. My assumption is that people knew. Or people know that I'm not going to buy a Corvette put out there. You know, Tahoes are still.
So you think people are very well informed?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Every time we go out in the public and would they see the Corvette? It's not the latest version of the Corvette.
Right. It's like two versions older.
It's still a good looking car.
It is.
And when they come up to me, they fully aware that it's a seized car.
Good.
They just want to know what was seized from and for and what we're going to wrap it next and all. It just. A conversation piece, mainly.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for showing up. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident to let you know about right here on northbound on Old Palafox in Marshall Lane. We've got roadblock on Old Palafox, so be aware of that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, still seeing those construction congestion delays. Let's see here. If you are on 98 westbound approaching Garcon Point Bridge, expect to maybe a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
I don't know you. But you, I never forget a face.
Oh, no time at all before the end of the hour. But I should let you know that, you know, the Attorney General, I'm an AG, has now got 6 months of unpaid leave. The woman who refused to let herself get trespassed when she was drunk.
You're listening to